drank a lot of absinthe in Prague.
We did. That one cocktail we had was delicious.
The one at, which one?
The one at the jazz bar. The bomb.
The bomb.
The bomb.
So we got to Ljubljana, and I think you and I have been going pretty hard since Paris.
Yeah.
And so we were both feeling a little under the weather.
We wanted to sleep a lot.
Not just hungover, like we both have a little bit of a slight cold.
Slight cold.
So yeah. We had a bottle of absinthe from Prague that I thought we should drink some of now to clear up our colds.
We're looking at it. We're very afraid. It looks like mouthwash.
It does look... It straight up looks like mouthwash.
Okay, let's just get this over with. So we're going to cheers right now.
Ugh.
I don't remember cheers in Prague or Czechos. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
That was disgusting. And it burns. It burns. It burns. It burns. You didn't even drink it all. I shot my whole thing.
No, I took half of it. I can't. We went to the absinthe bar. And we had it, like, with sugar and water and shit.
It was so good.
And that was better. The straight absinthe. Ugh.
It's burning. It's burning.
Now I added juice to it. It looks like swamp water.
Well, can I have some more absinthe so I can add it to juice?
Yeah.
Anyways, we're not going to talk about absinthe for the whole podcast, although that was a good chunk. It was a good chunk of our trip to Prague.
It was. I mean, the absinthe drinking definitely started in Paris.
Yeah. And then we...
As it should.
As it should. We were being artists.
Yeah. So we got into Prague on Thursday night.
On a day.
On Thursday night. And we went and walked around a little bit.
Yeah. And we didn't really have any problems getting into Prague.
We've had this... So we've been doing Airbnb the whole time.
Yeah.
And we've kind of had this, like... Now we're on our third Airbnb. I'm sorry, I'm not drunk. Well,
we went on a tour, which we'll talk about later.
We're on our third Airbnb, and there's always something that seems to go wrong with each one. Not majorly, but minorly.
Yeah.
The first one, we didn't have the buzzer code, and so we didn't know how to get in, and we had to figure out how to call the lady, but the area code was weird, and it like took us a few tries to get the phone number right. She was inside the whole time and let us in, but we spent a good 15-20 minutes not knowing how to get in.
Yeah.
This one, oh no, the Prague one, again, they said, we're leaving the key for you in a specific place. The key wasn't there.
Yeah, because it turned out that the cleaning lady was still cleaning it.
With the key inside.
Yeah.
But then I noticed, like, through the window, I was like, there's somebody in there. Oh, she's cleaning the windows.
Yeah.
And then we knocked on the door. And then she spoke no English.
Yeah, we were really confused as to what was happening.
I was like, hi, are you so-and-so? Like, we're Airbnb. And she was just like, okay. And, like, let us in and gave us keys. But, like, we could have been anybody.
It was kind of strange.
Yeah. But it worked out. And, like, that was a nice place.
And we'll tell you about our story with this one when we get to Slovenia.
I mean, it's not that big of a story, but, like... And then, I gotta say, because we just learned this today.
Yeah.
That I'm gonna, like, once you're done with the Airbnb, you write them a review and everything, and then they write a review about you as an Airbnb tenant. And we got a review today from the Paris one, and she was like, oh, they obviously were smoking inside. And it's like, we absolutely did not smoke inside.
Yeah, like, we didn't do that at all.
No, there was no smoking. So, like... I don't know why she thinks we're smoking inside, but, like, fuck off.
We were really pissed off. And, like, it was a really nice Airbnb, but it was really loud because they were doing construction. Maybe, like, the construction workers were smoking in the hallway.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Is like, maybe those guys were around and smoking, or, like, the smell of the... I have no idea.
Yeah, but we were just like, what?
Yeah, and I messaged her back. I was like, just so you know, we completely were not smoking in your studio.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
We weren't right.
But yeah, so now, let's talk about Prague.
So we flew into Prague,
That was
Paris.
Hectic.
It was a little bit hectic. We were on our way to Charles de Gaulle Airport, and somebody left some personal luggage on a train, which meant they shut down the entire train line to the airport to get the bomb squad in.
We did mention this on the Paris one.
Oh, did we?
We did, because we recorded the last half one of the Paris episode in Prague, as like now we're recording the Prague one and we're in Ljubljana.
Right. Okay, sorry. Sorry for the repeat of that. But anyways, that was hectic.
We had to get off the train and wait for a new train and
yeah.
Yeah.
So then we got into Prague. We got a cab. He was nice, but cabs in the Czech Republic are known to rip you off.
Yeah, so I was looking at the GPS on my phone, and he started driving south, and we were north, and I was kind of like, just so you know, we're going to this neighborhood, and he was like, yeah, I know, and then he started going north.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe you're taking away that the street's better, but I really don't feel like that guy was taking the shortest way at all.
Yeah, he seemed to really try at the end, though, because our Airbnb, so first of all, our Airbnb was right past the embassies, and so when you were pulling up into the street that led to our street, the car had to stop, and then the police came out and like checked to see if there was anything under the hood and in the trunk of the car, and we had no idea what was going on that time because we didn't realize we were on the embassy street.
Yeah, they checked the underside of the car for bombs, which is yeah. kind of funny.
Yeah.
But like, it was nice because where our location was really central and walkable and close to fun bars, but we felt really safe because we were like next to the American and Irish embassies, and there were tons of like policemen or guards walking around with guns, so we're like, okay, we're safe.
Yeah, and they were like literally at the bottom of our street, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we went out, we walked around a bit, and we needed some dinner, so of course we had some ale and goulash and biscuits, and it was delicious.
So good. It's one of the best meals we've had on the trip.
It definitely was, and I think we definitely felt like we were in Prague then.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to Prague before, but I know your first impression was, like, pretty... You really liked it.
I really liked it. I loved the first night we were there. It was really great.
But yeah, I mean, like, Prague is very fairy tale-like.
It is. Like, you walk into the old part of Prague where we were staying, or we were staying in the lesser town. But it was just so much like a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we went out for our dinner. We walked around. We walked onto the Charles Bridge just a little to see what it was all about. And Aaron got to see a bit of the city, and it's very, like, there's lots of cobblestones and art. Nouveau sort of facades and
yet it's very medieval at the same time, right. And
Baroque churches, and it's just very pretty.
It was gorgeous. I was really glad I didn't have my sprained ankle like I had the last time I was in Europe.
Oh yeah, us trying to lug our wheelie suitcases up the cobblestones.
When I was wearing my boots with heels, it's just like I am only wearing my Stan Smiths for the rest of the trip.
Mm-hmm. So we grabbed our quick dinner, and then we went and recorded our podcast for Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided that we wanted to go up to a bar.
Yep.
And I looked a couple places up that maybe had live music, and we walked around a bit. And we went to this one. I was trying to remember the name of it that I wrote down in my book, and I wrote You Masala Ganesh.
And I wrote Amazeballs.
Yeah, so that is not the name of this bar at all. It's called You Malejo Glenna.
That sounds a lot more right than anything we wrote down.
Yeah, it was right around the corner from us, and I didn't even necessarily know exactly what they were doing that night, but we went into the bar, and then downstairs where the live music was, mm-hmm. you had to pay a bit of cover.
It was nine crowns or something, or $9, I don't know.
It was, I think, 200 crowns, which works out to being like a couple dollars.
Yeah, it was super. I think it was $9 between the two of us.
Oh yeah, no wait, because 100 is $5. So yeah. Never mind. It's about $10 each.
Yeah,
which is fine because honestly, it was like this small little cellar, this like medieval style cellar.
Yeah,
it's tiny, and this blues band was playing, and they were fucking awesome.
They were. It's like the Yuri something or other band, or Yuri something or other trio.
Yeah, I think I pulled that up too. Oh, no, I think I didn't because I was like, I'm not going to bother trying to say the name.
But he also had a bunch of like big Czech jazz stars that were there with him.
Yeah,
playing.
So it's his main trio, and the Yuri Masejczyk or Masejczyk or something trio. Sorry, Yuri.
But you were great.
Like, really great. And he pulled up a couple guys. This guy who was like a career harmonica musician.
Yeah.
He had this whole, like, case, this, you know, bigger than a large lunchbox full of all these different harmonicas, and he'd pull out a different one for a different sound. And he had this kind of like rockabilly look.
Oh, it was great.
And they had this other kind of guy who had this big frizzy hair, and he was this jazz piano guy.
He was called Mr. Blues.
Mr. Blues, they kept calling him.
Yeah, he was so funny because like from the back, he didn't look very old, and then he'd turn around and he was very like weathered. You could tell that he'd spent a lot of time in smoky jazz bars doing a lot of drugs.
Well, like you can smoke inside.
Yeah, it took me, like, I think I finally got the smoke out of my hair today.
I mean, I was going to say maybe that's why they thought we smelled like smoke, but that was in Paris, so that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But
we did go to the, you can smoke in that place.
Yeah, the thing is you didn't smoke in the bars in Paris, so.
Yeah.
I don't know,
weirdos.
But yeah, no, like I said, it was in a cellar, so there's no windows and everybody's smoking.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I kept thinking, like, oh, like, I know, like, my uncle would love this, or other people, but it's smoky, so maybe they would have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
And, like, we just kind of put up with it, and it was fine, but...
But, yeah, it was, I sent some of you some pictures of me in that bar where I was like, am I sexy, or do I have lung cancer?
But, yeah, I mean, that night for me was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. The music was wonderful.
Really good.
Yeah.
And then that we had an absinthe cocktail, and I had a Czech beer. And
I think I had a Czech beer as well. I think we drank the same thing that night.
And the next day we got up and we went up to the castle.
Yeah.
And we weren't really sure exactly how the day was going to go just because it was a little rainy.
Yeah, so we really weren't sure what we were going to do. We had a couple of options. But yeah, so we walked up the castle. The walk was lovely. I bought some Christmas ornaments because I collect Christmas ornaments from different countries.
And Prague seems to be really into Christmas.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back for Christmas, but at the same time, I feel like I'd die on the streets.
They must do something for the cobblestones.
Yeah. I'll ask Paul and Emily what they do in Brussels.
Yeah. The castle kind of claims to be one of, if not the biggest... castle complex in Europe or the world.
Yeah, and well, actually, before we even got into the castle complex, there was like a parade of old U.S. Army vehicles.
Oh, yeah. I think that was in front of the president or mayor's
home and office, but it's part of the palace complex.
Yeah, it was all these old American military vehicles, and they had the signs in the front of their Jeeps. Do you remember what it said? It was like Parade of Victory.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And they were in their old, like, I think probably World War I uniforms.
They wouldn't have been World War I because that's too old.
No, they weren't World War I, but I think some of the outfits were from World War I.
Yeah, and I was saying to Aaron at the time, it reminded me of the scene in... White Christmas,
mm-hmm.
where all the old guys at the end get back into their uniforms and are singing to Bing Crosby, and like they're just all these old dudes.
So we've got some video of that that we can share.
That was kind of random and funny.
It was really interesting, and we were like, and because it started as there was like this musical band performing in the courtyard, and we were like, what's going on? And then we saw the vehicles, and then we saw the parade. It was really interesting.
Then we went into the castle complex. Of course, more security there. Get your bag checked. Go through metal detector.
Yeah, and one of the things we learned quite quickly in Prague is that they're not very helpful when you ask at information, nor is there a lot of information.
No, they're kind of like, well, go look over there. I don't know.
You should figure it out on your own.
Yeah. We went to... the first thing we do when we get in, we went to Vitus Cathedral.
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah, it's very nice, very, very old.
Yeah, it's very gothic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of the, so they have St. Wenceslas, Well, St. Wenceslas's.
It's not like Good King Wenceslas.
Well, it is, actually. It's the same one.
Yeah, but it's not pronounced the same way.
Well, isn't that how it's pronounced? Good King Wenceslas.
I always pronounce it Wenceslas.
That's wrong,
Good
though.
Good King Wenceslas first looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
But that's not correct.
Well, that's what it says in Love Actually.
Oh, well, that movie's... So, anyway, St. Wenceslas's. Wenceslas. I'm actually not even sure.
So I'm going to look up the pronunciation right now.
He is the patron saint of... the Czech Republic. And one of the reasons why he's such a big deal is because he's the very first Slavic saint recognized by the Catholic Church. And he's also the patron saint of the people. And he wasn't actually a king. He was a baron or a duke. And his tomb is in St. Vitus Cathedral, or in Vitus Cathedral.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of statues and stuff sort of about him. And
a lot of theories about him and a lot of stories about him there.
He was eventually murdered, put to death. I actually didn't really do a whole ton of research on him for this podcast, just in that he came up a lot in our touring of Prague, that he's very important.
He is. Oh, Wenceslas, the first Duke of Bohemia.
Let me see that. Wenceslas.
Wenceslas. I'm going to pull up the pronunciation.
It's not Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas first looked out. You're going to have to cut out my singing at some point.
No, I'm not.
Good King Wenceslas. I'm not as good as, like, the dude from Lookout Club, actually.
Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas first looked out on the feast
this
of Stephen.
This is all staying in. I'm not cutting any of it out.
That's cool. I like to sing. I just hope I sound okay.
Anyway, Vitus Cathedral also has a really amazing Alphonse Mucha stained glass window.
It's very beautiful.
That was, I guess, would have been early 20th century, late 19th century, well, late 19th century. So we went and looked around that church for a while. We did the audio guide, which had just a ton of information in it. It was quite cold and rainy.
I'm about to play the pronunciation now, because I'm still stuck on that, apparently.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to, like, finally.
Laws or Wenceslas.
Wenceslas.
Who was the first one?
Wenceslas or Wenceslas.
Wenceslas.
Or Wenceslas.
Or Wenceslas.
Wenceslas or Wenceslas.
I guess we're... But not Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas first looked out on the...
But I think if you're in Prague...
You call it Wenceslas.
Because they call it Wenceslas Square.
All right, so it's Wenceslas. I can't sing that. Go, good King Wenceslas first looked out.
That sounds fun.
All right. This is now known as the podcast where Aaron sings Christmas carols.
That's cool, because Prague loves Christmas, and we're talking a lot about Wenceslas. Or Wenceslas. Or Wenceslas. Who probably wasn't Wenceslas, because he was a baron.
Yeah.
He was probably rolling in pussy.
Yeah, that sounds like something that a baron would do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was cold and rainy.
Wenceslas is also buried in the cathedral.
Yeah, there's his tomb.
It's epic.
Yeah, they don't let you in it, though. You can just peek your head in.
Who's the one that had, like, the epic drapery tomb?
Some other bro.
There's a lot of bros there.
That's the thing. It's like, we don't know anything about Czech history.
Yeah.
So, like, there was, like, this guy, but we're like, I don't know who that is.
There's so many bros. There's some Habsburgs.
There are some Habsburgs.
We're learning more about the Habsburgs here, so get ready to talk about the Habsburgs when we get back at them.
Yeah, or we just cut you out, Adam, and I'm going to talk about it instead.
That works.
Yeah. So, we got out of the cathedral, which was very... tall, very high. That's one thing that struck me when we walked in. Even though we've been in Notre Dame, this one seemed very high.
Very high.
The ceilings and the roof was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, it was like, you have reached up to the heavens, I guess.
Are you going to sing more?
No, not right now. I will sing later. I like to sing. Do I sound okay when I sing?
You sound great. We were so cold, we had to get some hot wine.
Oh, but all we could find was this honey wine.
The first hot wine we had was honey wine. That we got in this, like, little castle market, and it was, like, I swear to God, it was, like, half honey, half wine. It was too much for me.
It was so sweet. Rachel couldn't finish her, so I chugged both of ours at one point, because I was just so cold. I was so cold.
And we also had wine and some, like, gnocchi.
That was not very good. It was, like, gnocchi and sauerkraut.
Yeah, it was okay.
I just wanted cream sauce.
But then we went into another church because it was cold.
Yeah, and it was St. George's.
Which is much more simple, not medieval. Was it medieval?
No, it was pre-medieval. No, it was Romanesque. And it had been restored back to its original form because there had been number of different additions to it. And so, like, they changed the vaulting. They changed a number of things. And so it looked very almost prehistoric.
Well, after being in Vitus Cathedral, it seemed very simple.
Yeah.
It definitely has, like, a more sort of Baroque outside.
And there's a staircase inside that leads to the crypt that is also very Baroque.
I just pulled up the Wikipedia page. It is the oldest surviving church in Prague Castle. It was founded in 920. And then it was enlarged in 973. And I'm sure has had been added to many times since then, but the original inside structure definitely looks really freaking old.
Well, and apparently they had taken the original barrel vaulting and the original wooden roof and tried to change it into the more Gothic style with, like, the pointed
archways. Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, and then in
the
1900s, or is the 1900s or 1800s, I can't remember, somebody took over the architecture of the cathedral and tried to restore it, and so they put the wooden roof back in,
which is much more Romanesque,
much more, and then they brought back the barrel vaulting instead of the, like, peaked Gothic vaulting.
Well, now the roof is just the flat wood.
Yeah,
but it was kind of a very humble, it was a very humble church after looking at a giant cathedral like St. Vitus.
It was, and, like, it had some interesting stories. There was one saint there, and I can't remember her name. This is where things are getting bad again, but I'll talk about her, and Rachel's going to look up the name.
St. Wenceslas' mother.
St. Wenceslas' mother. So St. Wenceslas' mother was a martyr. Actually, she was murdered because she had a terrible relationship with her daughter-in-law, who paid for people to come and strangle her to death with a scarf. And so all of the imagery of her, be it in sculpture or in painting, is all with this sort of scarf around her neck to represent how she died.
Yeah, so the saint you're talking about is Ludmilla of Bohemia. This is Wenceslas' mother, who was murdered by her daughter-in-law.
And Wenceslas' father is also buried there.
Yeah, she has an actual full chapel, again, which you can't really go into.
Yeah. Yeah, and his father is the first person to ever be buried in that, in the church.
Wow, she was born in 860 and died in 921. That's a long fucking time ago.
Yeah. Well, this is why you should get along with your mother-in-laws. Or yeah. Daughter-in-laws. I'm glad I get along with mine.
Or just be the one who does the killing first.
I'm not going to kill you, Janice.
Hmm. We'll see.
I love my mother-in-law.
Just kidding. Okay, so we did the castle, we went to St. Vitus, we went to St. George, we walked around the Golden Row, which was actually, like, it was cute, but I actually thought it was going to be cooler.
And this is where we really learned that Prague didn't have the same organization as Paris, because when you go into, like, a Paris cathedral or a church in Rome, it's like you go up one side and you go down the other, and they try to have people going up and down on the same spiral staircases.
Narrow,
and it was
wooden spiral staircases.
It was awful.
With all different kinds of tourists of different nationalities who have different ideas of what side of the stair you should go on and how you should. I kept saying to people in English from the back, and I was like, learn to merge.
Yeah, it was not pleasant. Like, we were very happy to get out of there. We really liked Prague, but it's so touristy.
It's beautiful, it's medieval, it's quaint, it's fairy tale-like and magical and all these things. But especially when you get to areas like the Charles Bridge and the Old Town Square, it is a fucking traffic jam of tourists and people with kids and backpacks, and
you kind of feel like you're in Disneyland, but a really poorly organized version of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's no natural flow of where people are supposed to go, and everyone's stopping to take pictures. And so I was in Prague 9 years ago for 4 days.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fuzzy in my memory, but I do remember it. And I remember it being touristy, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, it was, there's a lot of painfulness there.
Like, walking across the Charles Bridge was I said it was like being in Vegas at New Year's.
Uh-huh.
Maybe actually not as bad, but like it was intense.
Yeah. We did get some cool jewelry.
We did. We bought some jewelry on the bridge, which is like the Charles Bridge is this super old bridge built by Charles the something.
I'm not going to sing a song about him.
Oh, what? But there's all these statues of saints on it, and it's a very well-known bridge where people, you know, sell jewelries, and there's vendors, and there's always musicians, and it's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just absolutely, completely full of tourists. So also, one common theme that's been going on through our trip, I think there's been two, that is rivers.
Yeah.
Me. Every city that we've been on or been in has, like, been around a major river, has built their city center on a major river.
Yeah.
Of course, Paris being on the Seine, you know, London on the Thames.
Yeah.
Prague on the Vltava.
We never learned to speak Czech.
Vltava River. And so the Charles Bridge is across that. And it's King Charles IV. So, in other words, like, this was part of the whole coronation procession. They'd start up at the castle. They would come down across the Charles Bridge into the old square. And it's from the 15th century.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's really cool. Just so full of people.
So full of people. The first night that we went across it, it wasn't too bad. But when we went past it, or when we went across it during the day, it was so crowded.
Was that a Friday midday?
Friday, or, yeah, or Saturday midday. It was on our way to the Mooka Museum.
So do we... No, because we went into the Old Town Square on both days.
Oh, yeah. And actually, the first day was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say, like, if you go to Prague, like, you do have to go see the Charles Bridge, and you have to go see the Old Town Center, like, the astronomical clock and all that stuff. Like, it's really cool, but, like, don't spend all your time there. Like, go see it once or twice and then branch off and go see other stuff.
Yeah, the area that we stayed in, Malastrana,
yeah,
was really neat. I would recommend staying there. It's touristy-ish, but you're on the edge of it enough that you do feel like you're in Prague.
Yeah, and even at night, like, once you get out of the main section, like, it's quiet.
Yeah, it's quiet. Like, when we were in Old Town, it was in, like, it was hard to get around at any point.
So we left the castle, we crossed the bridge, we had a couple glasses of hot wine. After we had the honey wine, we found one that just sold hot mulled wine.
Yeah.
And that was so much better.
Yeah.
And that definitely kept us going through our cold raininess.
Yeah, and we would just take our mulled wine with us everywhere.
Yep. We walked over the bridge into the Old Town Center.
Which was so crowded.
So crowded. Where we walked past the astronomical clock. But at that point, we just sort of like decided to go have some pasta. Oh, this is where we went. We went to a very touristy restaurant. But we went and sat inside, which was less crowded.
Yeah.
And we had some pasta and some wine. And it was quite nice. And it was just funny because this was like a pseudo upscale restaurant with like a nice interior.
Yeah.
And we came in and they were playing Cypress Hill.
It was amazing.
And like other, and then they just went on to like 90s R&B and like, I don't know, Destiny's like Child.
Brandy and Monica.
Yeah, like it was really weird.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed it.
We had a good time.
I believe this on the same day we went to the Absinthery.
Yeah, this is, so once we finished there, we decided, there was two things we wanted. We had contemplated checking out. There was a gypsy music place, which we never went to.
Which we never even saw gypsies happening.
Yeah, we were like, this is just false advertising. And then there was the Absinthe Museum, which was really just an absinthe bar that you could buy some souvenirs at.
Yeah. It was still really cool, though.
It was super cool. That's where we got this distilled absinthe with sugar and water, and we
have no idea what you'd call it. It's like an absinthe hookah.
It was so cool. We have pictures fountain, of it though. It maybe. Was so cool.
It's like what they do is like they bring this like water fountain, like this ornate Art Nouveau deco looking sort of a water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring you your two glasses or your four, however many you have.
Yeah.
And they put the spoon on your cup with the sugar cube. And I guess, like, we didn't see them light the sugar cube on fire. Maybe they already did that.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't do that at all.
I don't think they did. I think it's just because it dripped down with this, like, really hot water from
the... It wasn't hot. It was dry ice.
Oh, it was dry ice.
That's why it smoked.
Yeah.
So then she had a cup of dry ice, and she turned the water on so that the little fountains would drip into our cups through the sugar.
Yeah.
And then she dumped a mug full of dry ice in the fountain so that it all smoked over.
Right.
As that was happening.
Oh, it was so cool.
Yeah.
We loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't drink one more than one long shot of absinthe before I needed something a little bit more sweet.
Yeah, we got another absinthe cocktail. I don't remember what it was called, but it was quite delicious.
You had the super tiki one.
Oh, yeah.
You had the absinthe zombie.
I had the absinthe zombie. I've posted the tiki glass on my
Facebook. And I had the absinthe bramble.
Yeah.
Because it had lots of, like, smushed berries in it.
Yeah, they were both very good.
Yeah.
And then we...
Yeah, I think after that, we just went back. Oh, you know what? It was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the absinthery. We did all that. And then we had to go back to our room so that we could watch Riverdale.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So then we went to the absinthe store, bought absinthe, and we drank absinthe while watching Riverdale.
Yeah.
It was a really good episode of Riverdale.
It was.
If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Yeah, we're fans.
We're big fans.
Also, if you want to check out a sweet podcast about Riverdale, the Riverdale Gang.
I haven't listened to it yet. I really need to.
It's my friend Anne. Shout out.
Yeah.
Riverdale Gang. Check it out. So, yeah, that was basically our Friday.
Oh, and we watched some iZombie after because I was like, you need to watch this show that I like.
iZombie. We finished watching Lady Dynamite.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, we've been doing all this traveling and museums. You sit a veg out and watch TV.
Yeah, it's really good.
Saturday. We were only in Prague for 2 days.
Yeah, so Saturday we got up.
We were hungry because we had no food.
Yeah.
There are no grocery stores in Prague.
Yes.
There are only places that call themselves markets and grocery stores and only sell booze and chips and absinthe and candy.
And weed candy.
And weed candy and weed lollipops.
Yeah.
We still have two of those.
Oh, yeah.
So, like... There was nowhere we actually went to buy groceries. We were only there for 2 days anyway, but it was just like, literally be like, mini mart, 80% booze, 20% junk food.
Oh, also, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about our Airbnb, because it was very medieval style.
It was really cool.
It was so cool, but I swear it's haunted, because every night that we were there, I had this dream of this, like, ghost coming and hanging out above our bed and yelling at us.
Oh, I did not have that dream.
I had that dream every night. And then you'd, like, grab me. And I think it was in my
dream. In the dream? Or in...
I'm not sure, because that's the thing, is I don't know if it really happened or not.
It probably really happened.
Because every night you would grab me, and there would be this, like, crazy... It was sort of like in the Montmartre Cemetery, in that one where, like... There's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so she'd be up, like a banshee above our bed and screaming at us.
Huh.
And you would grab me.
You didn't tell me that until right now.
I told you about it the first night, but yeah, it happened the second night.
Was I awake?
I don't know. You were never awake. And I'm not sure I was.
But I mean, like, when you were telling me about the dream, was I really awake?
Oh, probably not, because I think I woke you up.
It was just waking up.
I think I also woke you up to be like, Rachel, 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 I think our Airbnb is haunted.
Oh, see, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was weird. So, yeah, it was cool.
Well, we've been in this place for one night. I wonder what kind of funny dreams you'll have.
I've been having some very interesting dreams at our Airbnbs.
I'm trying to remember...
Yeah, no, it was weird. Like, you, like, grabbed me and were, like, holding on to me, but, like, all three times. And I was, like, clinging on to you, and this, like, banshee woman was screaming at us.
Did we ghostbust her ass?
No, we just sort of hit there, and then we were, like, be gone!
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a really cool Airbnb that was, like, kind of... It was, like, a medieval basement suite.
Yeah, it was so neat. It seemed very kind of Spanish-Italian in a way.
It had that, like, curved ceiling, cellar, underground feel.
Yeah.
Without windows. It
yeah.
was, like, half underground.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely, like, I'd stay there again.
And Mira and Yuri, the people who own / run the place, were so helpful and so good.
Yeah, very communicative with us.
Yeah.
So, that was good. I think so far that's been my favorite one.
Me too.
Yeah. The one in Budapest looks like it's going to be pretty nice though, too.
Well, we had our own beds, right?
I know, for the first time of the trip.
I mean, I haven't minded sharing a bed with you.
No, but it's just luxurious.
I know. Out. But you're a good person to share a bed with.
Yeah, I don't think I, flail around that much. I really appreciate it in this place and the last place that they give you your own blanket.
Yeah, it's been nice.
Because I'm all about having my own blanket.
Well, and I really like to, like, burrito myself.
Sure, the first night we got into bed drunk and you thought your blanket was a tube.
Yes.
I'm like, it's weird how it's a tube. And I'm like, no, Aaron, your blanket's just folded in half.
And I kept messaging people, too, being like, it's like a sleeping bag, but my feet stick out, and I'm 5'2". How does this work?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were pretty drunk that night.
After the sweet blues band.
Yeah.
It was rad.
We're having a good trip if you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the next year we had to cross the bridge again.
Well, first of all, Saturday, we had a bunch of stuff to do. We were like, oh my god, I need breakfast. So we found a bagel place.
Oh, yeah.
Which made me super happy.
Yeah.
And we had bagel sandwiches.
Oh, my lox and cream cheese.
And it was called a Bohemia Bagel.
It was so good.
That was like, I literally was walking down the street and we're like, we need breakfast. I was like, I really want a bagel, but I don't think I'm going to find one. And then I like looked down the street and bagel shop, empty.
Oh, we had delicious bagels at the bagel shop.
So then we found our way to the Mooka Museum after kind of getting turned around a bit.
Prague is so hard, easy to get lost in.
Yeah, like, I feel like Paris, I had like a pretty good handle on, but yeah. Prague, I kept getting lost.
Yeah, multiple times. We got lost in Prague so many times.
I mean, it would be like, by lost, I mean like one or two blocks in the wrong direction and be like, oh shit, we're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we headed to the Mooka Museum. We walked through Wenceslas Square, which is more of a modern... Well, it's not modern. Like, it has an older history too, but it definitely has more of a modern feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of where the House of the President is.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of political history that we're not going to go into, but...
Because we don't know enough about it.
Well, sort of like, you know, when the Soviet regime fell, I mean, that's where a lot of people, Czech people, gathered to protest.
Oh, and Rachel's, yeah, I got an interesting story about people jingling their keys.
Well, I know I've done a bit of research about this kind of thing, and even like a few decades ago, it was the 70s or 80s, there was a young student who lit himself on fire in that square in protest of the Soviet government. And then in the, I guess probably around, what was it, 91, when finally a lot of those countries gained their freedom, around that time, people were protesting the government still, and they were showing up in that square every night for weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And they would just jingle their keys, jingle their keys.
Yeah.
Basically signaling to the president, take your keys and go home.
Yeah.
And then finally, like, one day they went there, and a popular public figure was there instead, who was on their side, and he said, the president's gone. And they finally, like, he finally left.
Well, Prague is, or the Czech Republic in general, is quite known for its peaceful revolutions. Like, even the breakup.
Was that the one they called the Velvet Revolution?
Yeah. And, like, there are, even, like, the breakup of the Czech Republic, or the breakup of Czechoslovakia was quite peaceful.
Was that the Velvet Revolution?
That's the Velvet Revolution.
Yeah. So, do they call it that because it, like, went well?
I'm not sure, but that could be a good... like, interpretation of it.
Yeah, we're by no means experts on kind of going off these snippets of things we've gotten from museums and art galleries as we've been going.
I really want to learn more about Czech history, though, after this. Because, and I mean, I've read a bit about the breakup of Czechoslovakia, and that Slovakia, the Czechs didn't view Slovakia as being Czech enough, and there were a lot of issues in the war where Slovakia seemed to sort of welcome Nazi occupation, and so they were treated better, and the Czechs were very angry about that.
Well, so. One thing that we kind of learned a little bit about was that, I mean, the Nazis did eventually... So one cool thing about Prague is that it didn't get bombed in World War II.
Yeah.
So it's very well-preserved.
Yeah, it was too far east.
It's too far east. The Nazis did take it over, but it didn't receive any damage, really.
Yeah.
And that they did preserve a lot of the Jewish quarter, and but it was in this kind of like sick way that Hitler was like, I'm going to preserve this Jewish area. Like a lot of Jews after the Roman expulsion, that's not a word, expulsion.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of years before.
Yeah.
That, like a lot of them had moved into this area.
Yeah.
So there was a thriving Jewish community. And when the Nazis took it over, Hitler decided to preserve that area, but as a museum or a monument to the people he exterminated.
Yeah.
So it's well preserved for that reason. So it's kind of like creepy and disturbing, but I mean, it's good because it's still there.
Yeah.
So there's still like, you know, this really old cemetery and these beautiful synagogues and it's so like Prague is preserved for some really interesting reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a very, very interesting city for that.
Yeah.
But you really liked the Mucha Museum.
I love the Mucha Museum.
I'm not
also speaking of, like, you don't like Art Nouveau?
I like Art Nouveau. So I think also I had a really bad headache.
You did.
When we went
and I think that was part of why you were like not so into it.
Yeah, because I just sort of, I went through it really quickly and then I just sat down and wrote.
So for me, I mean, like on any day, if you ask me who my favorite artists are, Alphonse Mucha is somebody I'm going to say is like,
yeah,
up there is like my top three, basically. So we went to the Alphonse Mucha Museum, which is quite small.
It's very tiny, and the works, like, I have to admit, they're incredible. I just couldn't, I had a really bad headache. I could not get into it. So there was a video on him, and so I just sat down and I watched it and I wrote a bunch of stuff because I'm a writer and I haven't been writing recently, and so I just wanted to get back to writing.
Yeah, so he's a Czech artist. He spent a lot of time in Paris. He is one of the main artists to kind of shape the Art Nouveau movement. Like his work is very influential with the elongated organic flowing lines and sort of the blocky poster style and the thick outlines, the pastel colors. He became quite successful after, and there's a little bit of a write-up on this, that so there's a very popular late 19th century French stage actress named Sarah Bernhardt, and she needed a poster for a play she was doing, and I guess her normal poster guy was out of town. She needed one very quickly. She'd heard of Mucha. She said, like, I need this by tomorrow.
I have lots of money.
Make me a poster. The large poster and a couple of copies of the prints and sketches for it are in the museum. He did it for her, and it was so different, and he, you know, she absolutely loved it. It was something very unique with these sort of, like I said, like blockier, rigid shapes and ornate border work.
Yeah.
That she immediately commissioned him to be basically her public artist for like 6 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, so he did a lot of work for her, did a lot of sort of cigarette ads and absinthe ads. And
I do know him from his absinthe ads.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure really everybody's seen Mucha's work
and just may not be familiar with who he is.
It definitely influences my personal style quite a bit.
I can see that. Yeah.
So he did that for like the earlier years of his career. And then he really decided that he wanted the last half of his career to reflect like a Czech identity and being uplifted to his people. So he moved back home and he worked on this humongous piece called the Slavic Epic, which is not in the Mucha Museum, but I believe it's in the National Gallery. And it actually has only recently been in the National Gallery because it was kept separate from Prague.
Yes.
He left it to the city of Prague, but his family held on to it until they felt like it was like the right time and they had the right venue. And now it is there. And it was really awesome for me to see his actual sketches and sort of the big, so they call them, when you do like a big charcoal and paper sketch of a large scale poster or mosaic, it's called a cartoon, which I'm sure you know from Greek and Roman mosaics, but they had like these large sort of cartoons of stuff that, like, but he just, you could see how masterful he was. It's not like he had to like draw and erase, like he just drew, like even in the video you could see
He
would just be standing there drawing on a wall and it was like perfect.
His sketches were perfect.
Yeah, he's a design illustrative sort of guy, and he, yeah.
In the video, I could really understand, like, especially as a tattoo artist, mm-hmm. why his work would be very influential to you, because mm-hmm. it's like you have these like perfect outlines and then you mm-hmm. go from there. And so it really reminded me of the work you do.
It's very striking.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a highlight for me in Prague. So then after we left the Mickey Museum, we got a little bit lost again. We meandered our way back to the town square where it started raining. We had a couple drinks on a patio.
They had very bad service.
Yeah, the waiters seemed really stressed out.
Yeah, we had some dessert.
And then we made our way to the Cross Club.
Don't forget, we went and watched the Astronomical Clock, which is very underwhelming.
Yes, so before we did that, we popped into that church.
Oh, and there was, like, some choir singing.
There was quiet. Again, we had good luck with random religious music.
Yeah, we've been doing really well with that.
And there happened to be these, like, it was a Polish choir.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really nice. And then we popped over to the Astronomical Clock because it was 3 o'clock and we wanted to see what it would do, and it did almost nothing.
It was great. The entire crowd was like, this is it.
I know.
Time for beer.
Huge crowd of like over like 200 people, and everyone's just standing there with their cameras in the air. And then the guys around us were like, I'm bored.
It was hilarious. You dragged me out of the pub for this? Yeah. And so then, yeah, we headed to the Cross Club.
Yeah. So we took a train. We figured out
The tram system.
Which on the way there was... we did an okay job on the way there.
Yeah.
Went to... So, 9 years ago when I was in Prague, I went to the Cross Club a bunch of times because it happened to be down the street from the hostel I was staying in.
Yeah.
And it's a lot... It's grown a lot since I was there.
Yeah, my colleague Callie... hi, Callie! had recommended it because she'd been there like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm.
So we went to the restaurant and had, like, a early dinner.
We had a pizza with vegetables on it.
Again, searching for vegetables.
Yeah.
Until finally the one half of the sort of, like, more casual bar part of it opened.
Yeah.
We went in there and hung out.
So steampunk and so awesome.
Yeah, it's this very, like, industrial, cyberpunk, metal sculpture.
There's, love
like,
it.
Chandeliers made out of metal sewing machines and, like... It's really artistically fucking cool.
It is amazing. We had shitty gin and tonics.
But so we decided to wait around to see, because I really wanted to get into the dance floor area because that's the bar I had hung out in years ago. But then, like, you had to pay to get in, and the doormen were, like, really kind of rude. And
yeah, they were really mean. They're like...
They're like, just get a ticket.
€9 or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, and I was like, can I just look in the bar first to see what it looks like? And they're like, no, get away from the door.
Yeah.
And there was, like, nobody in there.
They're like, we just want to... Okay. And yeah. So we went and got on the train in the wrong direction.
For the first time. Not the last time. Yeah, I think after that, we just went back to our rooms and packed and...
Oh, and then we went and used up the rest of our crowns. We went back to the same bar we went to on the first night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we ate McDonald's.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
That was disappointing. And then we went to the same bar we went to on the first night. We didn't go down to the smoky area because our lungs couldn't take it. And
I was tempted, but we also only had so many crowns to use.
And so we just had some way too sugary cocktails. I was not happy with my drinks.
Oh, yeah, I had a gin fizz, you had an apple fizz.
Never again.
And then I had a beer.
And I had, like, this weird, like, grenadine bourbon drink that was... It was called a Red Bus, and it was gross. Yeah, then we went home. I think we watched another episode of iZombie, and we went to bed.
Yeah, I'm just looking over my notes here about anything else I learned from Prague.
I learned that they're not very helpful.
Yeah, the people and information... and when we went to the information desk at the castle... that one particular lady, I'd just be like, okay, so is this part of the package? And she's just like, read the sign.
Yeah, and she'd just yell at you. The guy that I got the audio guides for was actually really nice. Mm-hmm. And especially when I was like, I thought it was this. And he's like, it is. You're just not understanding. And I was like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I stood in line to talk to that lady. And then I got up to the front and she was like, desk closed. Go to a different desk. I'm like, cool, thanks.
I just waited here for a long time.
Well, yeah, so apparently the golden age of Prague was the 14th century.
Yeah.
And this was like the Holy Roman Emperor, the seat of the Holy Roman Emperor at this time, who I'm assuming is the Habsburg.
Probably.
I don't know. So up until about 1800, Prague was actually four different towns.
Yeah.
Which was the castle, the little town or the lesser town where the royals lived.
That's where we stayed.
Which is where we were, Malastrana, the lesser town, which is really nice. The old town, which is where the markets were. And the new town, which is sort of like Wenceslas Square. And then like lots of the 20th century history things happened. They had four decades of Soviet rule. They are well known for their beer.
Well known for their beer.
Yeah, beer is a big thing there. Pilsners and lagers, I believe.
Yeah.
They have a very... So in the Old Town Square, I don't know if you noticed, there's a big statue of some men.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Jan Hus. Jan Hus is a guy similar to Martin Luther, but 100 years before Martin Luther.
Oh, right.
Who was like... I don't know if he was anti the Catholic Church as a total, but he was part of the whole Hussite revolution.
Yeah.
He believed that people should be able to talk directly to God.
Yeah.
And that people should be able to read the Bible.
I know that they talked a lot about the Hussites and then a lot about the Calvinists when they were there.
So that's like one of their sort of local heroes is Jan Hus.
Yeah.
Who's like a pre-Luther, Protestant revolutionary kind of guy. They're very big into classical music. As we noticed, there was tons of posters for classical music all the time.
There was like a Vivaldi concert every night.
I know, I was so tempted. I mean, Vivaldi's Italian, but
yeah,
still, like, they're very... It's a very musical town. There's a lot of music on the streets. There's a lot of jazz bars, a lot of blues bars. Yeah, like, it's definitely a lively town. There's a lot to do. It was... incredibly touristy from the last time I was there.
Yeah.
But worth going to, and I think 2-3 days tops, probably.
Yeah, I don't think you need to spend more like 4 at most. Yeah. We had an interesting time getting out of Prague. We first of all had the wrong tram line, because we were looking at the night tram lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got going in the wrong direction. Then we finally got going in the right direction. Then we got to the Prague train station. And literally nobody works there.
We're already at that point because we took the train in the wrong direction. Cutting it super close for time.
Yeah.
Not sure if we were going to make it. Panicking. Sweating. Trying to run to the platform. Pretty sure that the tickets on my phone were fine, but not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's no information. There's no people walking around. We couldn't find anybody to ask.
I think I yelled a couple of times, why does nobody work here?
Yeah. And then we finally, we happened to find the platform.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly Aaron.
I spotted a train that left at 10:52, and I was like, how many trains leave at 10:52?
Because our train didn't say to Vienna or Wien or Wien. It said to Gross or Grav or...
Yeah.
It was a different town.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that.
We didn't know that. And so we were just like, I was like, it's a 10:52. This has got to be it. Rachel quickly asked somebody and she's like, yeah, to Vienna. And we're like, we have no freaking clue if this is actually it. We got on the train. And then they kept saying Vienna, Vienna, Vienna. And we were like, okay.
Guess we're on the right train.
And so we got on it.
And then I took an Ativan and drank a glass of wine. And we traveled for 11 hours.
I, like, wrote a lot of stuff. I read 2 books. My brain went a little crazy.
We're on 3 trains on the way here.
Yeah.
The first one was so nice.
I love the first train.
Woo! It just had the nicest seats, and there wasn't anyone on it, and it had Wi-Fi, and like...
Rachel and I each had our own row.
Yeah. The next ones after that were less good.
We sort of had a Harry Potter style one.
Yeah, it was like 3 seats facing each other in a car with strangers, and it was super hot.
And the strangers in there were really weird.
Yeah.
And then we had one that sort of seemed like Vancouver Transit. And then we got to Slovenia, and we love it, and we will tell you about it next time.
Next time. And we will have to probably drink some beer and some wine on that one.
Exactly.
And this time we've been drinking our Prague absinthe.
Well, and it is not going to be this day when you hear this, but today is May 1st, so I have to wish my husband, Patrick, a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Sorry I'm not there. I can sing you happy birthday in my King Wenchlessness voice. Wenchless voice? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, it's still happening.
Happy birthday, dear Patrick. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, well, Prague was awesome but stressful, and happy birthday, Pat. Cheers.